Please welcome to the microphone Mr. Charles Leggett.
You got the rumble in your belly. You ain't had nothing to eat. You're so god-awful hungry. You eat the breadcrumbs off the street. Shake the chump change in your pocket. You ain't got nothing more. You ain't even got none stashed away for what your life gonna have in store. And your wife, she won't quit talking on that telephone. How long can it take this woman just to call up and say hello? And then come a knock, knock, knocking. It's a rent man wants a check. He don't pay you, no, never mind. He just wants you to pay the debt. And the doorbell start to ringing. It's a mailman for your wife. And the doorbell keep on ringing. It's a milkman for your wife. You mix all this stuff together. You're trying just to do your best. You're thinking, good God Almighty, is this some kind of a test? It's a recipe. Recipe for stress. Yes, it's a recipe. Recipe for stress. Oh, it's a recipe. Recipe for stress. To eat your wife, spent so much time on the vegetables, she overdone cooked the meat. Shake the chump change in your pocket, head down to the liquor store. You already had too much to drink, so what's a little more? Interference on the TV set, can't even watch the game. Calling up on them cable people, they don't want to know your name. Gunshot going off across the street, make you feel kind of blue. You stick your head out the window, and there ain't nobody there. Siren going all across the town, and make you feel kind of blue. And make you start to wonder, when they're gonna come for you. You mix all this stuff together, trying just to do your best. You're thinking, good God Almighty, is this some kind of a test? Well, it's a recipe. Recipe for stress. Recipe for stress.
Scott Augustson.
Andrea punished her husband, Soren, by calling him
Jim.
It was her way of saying,
what have you done to us? You don't deserve an interesting name like Soren. Now you are an ordinary Jim.
Well, she called him Jim behind his back. Well, not even behind his back, because she didn't have anyone to talk to him about. So she called him Jim to herself. Andrea and Soren had moved to the small town of Albro 6 months ago. No, it was more like 8. It had been spring, and all things seemed possible.
It was really pretty in the spring.
They had moved there because of Soren's job.
Jim's job.
It made sense on paper. Andrea wasn't bringing in much with her job from the bookstore.
I used to dance. Was almost part of a very well-respected, locally well-respected troupe.
Andrea didn't tell people this anymore because she could see the question in their eyes.
Stripper?
Maybe. If I had been a choreographer, I would have stayed longer in the dance world.
Is there such a thing as the dance world?
Our town, Albros, I call it Albatross.
Again, not out loud. Andrea knew Coleridge references aren't easy. To get out of the once adorable, now claustrophobic house, Andrea started working at the library.
Volunteering is working.
Like most collections, Andrea started by accident. She was at the library and overheard a woman.
Joan. Joan, whose son fell off the ladder. Not Joan, whose brother was driving the bus when the accident happened. You know, the Girl Scouts.
Andrea didn't know anyone well. Conversations were short. But she, without trying, soon discovered that everyone in town was connected to some or other tragic event. She knew.
Everybody in the world has some sorrow in their family. An uncle who died young, some cancer, a stroke.
But the folks of Albros, their misfortune seemed
freakish.
Not tidy, ordinary illness and injuries. Melanie with the thick glasses.
Too thick for someone in her 20s.
Melanie, who couldn't master much beyond reshelving.
My dad was reading the electric meter on what turned out to be a meth lab when it blew up.
Leslie,
who goes through romance novels like water.
Leslie.
My eldest son died of an infection in her mouth. No, wait, yeah. Brought on because Dr. Parker, the dentist. He used his untrained wife as a dental assistant to save money. Dr. Parker is in jail now. His wife, Anne, is a waitress over at the Pizza Hut.
Kyle.
The nice boy who stocks the shelves at the grocery store.
My grandma lived over by the highway. A big rig lost control and drove through her house. Crushed her while she was getting a midnight snack.
Some days the stories ran together. Pit bulls.
Sinkholes.
Whiskey and short tempers.
Loaded guns and abandoned appliances.
Toxic exposure from the most alarming sources. A car repair put off until money wasn't so tight.
Kids playing with things that they shouldn't be playing with.
She thought of herself as
an anthropologist.
Even daydreaming that
I'll go back to college and study anthropology. Like Margaret Mead. No, not her. Something happened with Margaret Mead, and she's not who she used to be. Jane Goodall. No, she was chimps.
Andrea imagined herself at elegant dinner parties, telling of her findings. But Andrea had some awareness, and she knew the following. First,
anecdotal evidence is flawed. To really show something, graphs and control groups and statistics would have to be brought in.
Second,
the brain searches for patterns. I am unconsciously looking for these terrible, chaotic occurrences. I've become sensitive to them.
Third,
I'm being snobby. I've constructed a very judgmental house of cards. Like I'm saying, see how carelessly these poor people live? I'm better.
She did it to hover over the town.
As if escape were still possible.
It was inevitable that Andrea would meet Lynette. Lynette brought her two young sons to the twice-weekly story time. Lynette was thin to the point of gaunt, and Andrea could not imagine her pregnant.
And not just once, but twice.
The boys weren't interested in being read to. The younger one was always chewing on something and staring off in the distances. The older one...
I'm assuming he's older because of his size. He was fidgety and anxious.
The library had a box of toys that the little one gnawed on, and the bigger one tried to smuggle home. Andrea heard Lynette say...
Justin's dad.
And...
Aaron's dad.
So she knew the boys had different fathers.
Not such a big thing.
And yet, something sent Andrea's antenna up. One week after story time, a battered old car pulled up with two men. Lynette looked out the window.
Justin, Aaron, your dads are here.
Andrea found the fact that the fathers were so amicable.
Either oddly sophisticated or awfully trashy.
Jesus Christ, Bobby! You took out Justin's car seat! He still needs that!
Lynette, we had to take it out so there'd be room for everybody.
Yeah, Lynette, we thought you'd be happy for the ride.
You assholes! You guys are out on bail. Goddamn traffic ticket could send you back to county. Judge would love to bounce you back. Shit! Never mind. Justin can ride on my lap.
Next story time, Andrea managed to maneuver herself next to Lynette.
It's just great that your kids' dads are friends.
Huh?
You know, I saw them pull up together on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, they just got the one car between them, so they're usually together. Plus, since the eviction, they're both living with their mom.
Mom?
Andrea was momentarily adrift.
Oh, they're brothers.
Yeah.
Lynette picked up a Dixie cup of high C.
The Haney boys.
Andrea thought back to Tuesday and the words out on bail. How could she steer the conversation to...
I suppose,
Lynette said with a mouthful of dry, cheap cookie.
I should enjoy them while I can. Their trial is coming up. Who knows what'll happen?
Trial?
Lynette shrugged.
Drugs.
Oh, so Justin and Aaron, is it?
Yeah.
So they're more than half brothers?
Somebody pointed out they're cousins, too.
Andrea had never been great with math.
So they'd be like 3/8 brothers.
Yeah, I guess so.
Over the next few weeks, Andrea courted Lynette, soaking up her life story. If Lynette found it strange that someone was interested in her life story, she never said anything.
I mean, I was going with Bobby first, but we were totally broken up. And everybody says I started going with Mike to make Bobby jealous, but that is pure BS. Mike was always nice to me. And, you know, he was living with us, so I'd see him every day anyway. But Mike and I broke up before I knew I was carrying Aaron, and, of course, I got back together with Bobby. I mean, we were like high school sweethearts.
Andrea knew she shouldn't be treating this woman's life like a soap opera.
But I just can't help it.
Or maybe she could help it, but didn't.
What gets everybody so confused is that Mike is younger than Bobby, but Aaron is older than Justin. Hey, I got some people stopping by my place this afternoon. Want to come?
Andrea didn't need to be asked twice.
Yes!
It was her anthropologist's dream come true, but she did think briefly about Persephone.
I wonder if I should be careful of what I eat.
The people that Lynette had over were her mother and three of her mother's friends. She served Diet Coke, sour cream ruffles, and Salem lights that had to be smoked on the deck.
Because of the kids.
Lynette's mother, Carol, would say...
I hear you.
Whenever she agreed with something... Road construction annoying?
I hear you.
Early church service too early?
I hear you.
Carol's friend, Lacey Jo, showed up about 20 minutes late.
Diet Coke, Lacey Jo?
Mm-hmm.
Lacey Jo, what's wrong?
Lacey Jo made a face.
It's that damn angel's rest.
Lynette leaned over to Andrea.
That's the cemetery. The non-Catholic one.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Carol shot Andrea a covert look that said,
Now you've started it.
Angel's rest is all, excuse my language, all screwed up. My brother Ernst, his wife and her first husband bought a plot long, long time ago. They even got a stone with their last name on it. Well, Bass, Ernst's wife, got divorced 25 years ago, had all that time to change the stone or do something. Well, Ern had the multiple myeloma, you know, because he worked in the pain factory. Bass didn't have a dime, so he ended up under that old stone, under somebody else's name. And I know of 4 different cases like that, just like that.
Paula, who had been quiet until now, raised a finger.
And then there's the Norrison girls. Remember how we had that big collection drive at the church? We gave Mamie the money for a marker, but she went to Orlando, and all those girls have is a cement block with the plot number.
Lacey Jo took a swig of Diet Coke to fortify herself.
Well, I have just found out the worst. Now, you know that secretary over there was Barb Farron before she retired? Well, I guess she did such a terrible job with the files that there is no record over 10 years old. They don't know where anybody is. Could not find them for $1 million.
Andrea had dreams that night. She didn't remember the details, but mislabeling was involved.
Was I trying to make a cake, but couldn't find the right ingredients? Was I flying a plane with all sorts of unmarked buttons? Huh. Couldn't tell you for $1 million.
Lynette wasn't at the next story time, and Andrea was curiously relieved. But the story time after that, again, no Lynette. She got worried. Worried enough, or bored enough, to drive over.
Lynette!
Lynette was on the couch watching TV. The boys were in the back room. She didn't look like she'd slept recently. She let Andrea in.
Are you all right?
Andrea was surprised to find that she meant it. Lynette cast a look to the rear of the house.
Come outside.
Once outside, Andrea assumed Lynette would light up a cigarette. Instead, she reached out and grabbed Andrea's wrist.
Is it the boys?
Mike's gonna testify against Bobby.
Oh.
Andrea tried to remember which was Mike and which was Bobby.
I don't care about them. But my boys, I mean, they're little now, but in 10 years, Justin is gonna hate Aaron. Just when they need each other most, I don't know what to do.
Andrea held it together for an hour and then found an excuse to leave. When she got home, she sat on her front steps and began to cry. All of the tragedies she'd been collecting became real. The insect she pinned to cardboard came alive. It rained down a biblical deluge, threatening to drown her. The phone ringing from inside brought her to her senses like a more or less friendly slap. Years later, she would tell people,
I knew. I just knew, could feel it before I picked up. I was certain that this was a life-changing phone call.
In fact, sometimes Andrea would go so far as to tell people that she answered the phone by saying,
this is about my husband, isn't it?
This episode of Sandbox Radio Live was recorded at West of Lennon on June 20th, 2011. It was engineered by Christopher Stewart and mixed by Rob Whitmer. Charles Leggett's poem, Actor's Resume, was first published in the poetry journal Waterways, Volume 26, Number 7, 2005, out of Staten Island, New York. For more information about the Sandbox Artist Collective, visit thesandboxac.org.